It really feels like you can't go a day without hearing about some new cyber attack, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether it's, election systems being targeted or hospitals facing these crippling shutdowns, even our power grid,
They're
banks.
constant.
It's clear we're not in some like hypothetical future anymore. This is happening now, and the potential consequences are just massive.
That's spot on. I mean, the digital systems that underpin pretty much everything in modern life are increasingly under siege. And the methods they're using, they're getting more sophisticated all the time. We're talking about more than just, stolen data. The potential for really widespread disruption and, frankly, significant national security risks is very, very real.
And that's exactly what we're digging into today, these very pointed concerns raised by Chris Krebs, the former CISA director.
CISA, yeah. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency.
Right. So our sources for this deep dive are excerpts from a report, and it outlines Krebs's recent statements about some, well, pretty significant cybersecurity cuts. Our mission today is pretty simple, really. Understand the specifics of these cuts and, crucially, what kind of impact they could actually have on our national security.
And Chris Krebs, he brings a really valuable perspective here. I mean, as the founding director of CISA,
The first one.
yeah, the first director appointed during the Trump administration's first term, he has this deep firsthand understanding of the threats we face from inside government.
And he really became quite a prominent figure, didn't he? Especially when he publicly affirmed the security of the 2020 election.
Oh, definitely.
That statement, which seems straightforward, ended up having some pretty major repercussions for him personally.
It absolutely did. His assertion that 2020 was the most secure election in U.S. history directly contradicted claims being made at the very top at the time. And that led directly to his dismissal by then President Trump. And there were even calls for the Department of Justice to investigate him.
Wow. I mean, that's unprecedented, right? Politicizing a key cybersecurity role like that.
Completely. And the fallout, well, it didn't stop there for Krebs, did it?
No, apparently not. After CISA, he joined SentinelOne, but then with the administration change.
His security clearance was revoked.
Right. And he ended up resigning from SentinelOne because of the pressure that resulted from that.
So yeah, this is someone who's really experienced the consequences firsthand of taking a strong public stance on cybersecurity issues.
Okay, so let's unpack these cybersecurity cuts then, the ones causing all this concern. What exactly is being reduced? What are we talking about here?
Well, according to the reports we've seen since the beginning of 2025, the current administration has implemented some pretty significant reductions affecting CISA's capabilities.
Like what specifically?
Okay, so this includes layoffs for people still in their probationary period, so newer cybersecurity hires, basically, folks still being evaluated.
Okay, new talent gone.
Right. We're also seeing the dissolution of key advisory boards. And these boards are, well, they're crucial for bringing in outside expertise, different perspectives into the agency.
That sounds like a loss of vital input.
It could be, yeah. And there have also been reports of emails kind of encouraging early retirements within CISA. So you add it all up.
It looks like a definite reduction in force, in capability.
A tangible reduction, yes.
So, what's the official justification? Why are they doing this?
The Department of Homeland Security, DHS, which oversees CISA, has basically stated that the agency had, and I quote, strayed from its core mission.
Strayed from its core mission. What does that mean?
Their rationale is that CISA needs restructuring to have this laser focus solely on digital threats.
But the report we're looking at immediately pushes back on that, doesn't it? Suggesting that kind of thinking really misses the bigger picture, the complexities of modern cybersecurity.
Yeah, and that's what's really fascinating here. The argument is that cybersecurity today just isn't some separate siloed issue. It's woven into like every aspect of our critical infrastructure, our daily lives. So reducing the scope to only digital threats, it ignores those crucial connections. Think about a hospital network, for instance. A cyber attack might mess with their digital records, sure, but that can directly impact actual physical patient care, even medical devices. It's not just a digital problem anymore, you know?
It spills over into the physical world.
Exactly. So cutting capacity based on this sort of narrow definition of the mission, it could actually end up making us more vulnerable in the long run.
So given these cuts, these capability reductions, it's maybe not surprising that Chris Krebs reacted so strongly. He spoke at the RSA conference in 2025, right?
Right.
The report highlights his strong condemnation.
Yeah, he was very direct, very forceful. He stated emphatically, Cybersecurity is national security.
Right.
And right now, we should be outraged. Absolutely outraged.
Wow. And the report mentions the reaction.
Enthusiastic applause. From the cybersecurity professionals in the audience, these are the people on the ground.
That kind of response from his peers, I mean, that really tells you something, doesn't it?
It absolutely does.
These are the folks dealing with these threats day in, day out. For them to react like that suggests they deeply agree with his assessment. And he used a really striking analogy, too, didn't he, to illustrate the danger?
Yes, he did. A very potent one. He likened cutting cybersecurity staff right now to dismantling fire alarms during wildfire season.
Oof. Yeah, that paints a picture.
Doesn't it? Given the ever-increasing digital threat landscape we're seeing, it's a powerful image. It just underscores this idea that we're facing a growing danger, and the logical response shouldn't be to, you know, weaken our defenses.
Which brings us right to the nature of those threats. Krebs specifically called out several major Chinese hacking campaigns. Can you give us a bit more on those? What do they involve? Why are they such a big concern?
Sure. Krebs highlighted three specific campaigns: Volt Typhoon, Salt Typhoon, and Flax Typhoon.
Okay.
And what's really crucial to understand here is that these aren't just like theoretical threats. They've already had significant real-world impact. Well, these campaigns have been linked to breaches of actual critical infrastructure, things like water treatment plants, energy grids.
Seriously? Wow.
Yeah. As well as theft of both military and commercial data, and exploiting network vulnerabilities across federal and state systems. Volt Typhoon, for example, is particularly concerning because it seems focused on, like, pre-positioning within critical networks.
Pre-positioning. Meaning?
Meaning getting access now, potentially to disrupt operations later, maybe in the event of a conflict. And they often use techniques that sort of blend in with normal network traffic, making them really hard to spot.
Okay, so it's not just about copying data and getting out. It's about gaining persistent access, potentially control over systems that keep society running, and sensitive info going to adversaries.
Exactly that. And if you connect this to the bigger picture, these successful campaigns clearly show the capabilities and, frankly, the intentions of these state-sponsored actors.
So reducing our ability to detect and respond.
At a time when these threats are actively being deployed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very significant cause for concern, to put it mildly.
Let's just circle back for a second to the political context. We mentioned Krebs's stance on the 2020 election, how it put him at odds with the Trump administration. How much do you think that history might be influencing the current situation?
Well, it's hard to ignore it, isn't it? His public defense of the election security, it became this huge political flashpoint.
Right.
The fact that he was fired, that he faced calls for a DOJ investigation, it really highlights how politicized this whole area became.
Oh, we talked about the later repercussions, too.
The reviewed security clearance,
yeah.
His resignation from Sentinelone, it all adds up. It undoubtedly creates a, shall we say, more cautious environment for others in the field who might want to speak out now.
Yeah, and the report touches on that. It talks about a muted backing from the cyber industry. Sounds like a lot of leaders privately agree with Krebs, but are maybe hesitant to say so publicly.
That seems to be the case. There's a quote in there from Katie Missouri's that really captures it, I think. She said, "Everybody feels the same way I do. Nobody is authorized to say anything officially."
Fear of political backlash.
It seems to be a significant factor, yeah. In such a charged political climate, taking a public stand that could be seen as critical of the current administration, well, it carries potential risks for individuals, for their companies.
We did see one organized response, though, right? The Electronic Frontier Foundation, the EFF, they put out an open letter supporting Krebs.
Yes, the EFF's letter was definitely a notable example of public support, but the report also points out that it only got a few dozen signatures.
Not exactly a flood.
No, and major corporations within the cybersecurity industry, largely silent. So this limited public response kind of further underscores that cautious atmosphere in the sector.
Okay, so looking ahead then, the 2024 election is on the horizon. How might these cybersecurity cuts and this whole environment of maybe hesitant response, how could that impact the election?
That's a really critical question, isn't it? With reduced cybersecurity capacity at the federal level, CISA's level, there are definitely legitimate concerns. Concerns about, say, an increase in digital misinformation campaigns.
Like deliberate fake news spreading online.
Exactly, spreading rapidly. And also the potential for actual cyber attacks targeting, you know, vulnerable voting infrastructure. A weakened CISA could make it harder to detect those things, prevent them, respond effectively if they happen.
The report stresses the need for bipartisan support to tackle these challenges. What would that actually look like? What needs to happen?
Well, bipartisan support would be crucial for several key things. First off, restoring CISA's mission, making sure it has the resources and the authority it needs to address the full spectrum of cyber threats, not just that narrow definition.
So proper funding.
Proper funding, absolutely. For recruiting, for training a skilled workforce, we also need to enhance our threat detection capabilities, better tools, skilled analysts, more collaboration.
And the report also mentions public-private partnerships being vital. How do those help?
Oh, they're really the cornerstone of effective cybersecurity today. I mean, the private sector often has the cutting-edge knowledge, the real-time threat intel.
Right, they see things first sometimes.
Often, yes. So establishing strong channels to share that info with agencies like CISA is crucial for early detection, for coordinated response. You could have joint incident response teams leveraging expertise from both sides.
Makes sense.
Ultimately, that kind of collaboration, that's what builds long-term digital resilience for the country.
Krebs himself used a pretty pointed phrase, almost sarcastic, didn't he? About CISA, the make CISA great again comment. What was the real message behind that, do you think?
Yeah, that remark. I mean, obviously a sarcastic nod to a certain political slogan.
Sorry.
But it carried a very serious underlying message. It was really a plea for reinvestment. Reinvestment in the cybersecurity professionals who are absolutely essential to safeguarding our digital infrastructure.
He mentioned specific roles.
He did. He specifically talked about the critical need for more threat hunters, the proactive searchers, red teamers, the ethical hackers, testing defenses and sysadmins, system administrators, the people managing and maintaining the critical systems. These are the folks on the absolute front lines.
The boots on the ground, digitally speaking.
Precisely.
And the report also notes that DHS Secretary Kristi Noem is expected to announce her cybersecurity vision soon. Any clue whether she might reverse course on these cuts?
At this point, it really seems to be an open question. Her announcement will be very closely watched, you can be sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
The cybersecurity community will be looking to see if there's an acknowledgement of these serious concerns raised by Krebs and others.
And whether there's any sign of, well, reconsidering this current direction of downsizing.
Exactly. Is there going to be a course correction?
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see.
So to kind of wrap this all up, the key takeaway here seems pretty stark. Chris Krebs, who is, you know, a highly respected voice in this field, has issued a very strong warning about the potential dangers of these recent cuts to CISA's staff, its resources. And he's doing it at a time when the cyber threat landscape is just getting more complex, more aggressive.
That sums it up perfectly.
Yeah.
We're really not talking about theoretical risks anymore. Those examples, Volt Typhoon, Salt Typhoon, Flax Typhoon, they clearly show that state-sponsored cyber attacks are a real present danger.
Leading to actual breaches.
Actual breaches of critical infrastructure.
Yeah.
Theft of sensitive data.
Mm.
Weakening our defenses right now in this environment. It feels like a huge gamble, frankly. A gamble with potentially severe consequences for our national security.
Which leads us to a really important final thought for you listening. Given just how interconnected everything is now, our digital world, from our personal lives right up to how the whole nation functions,
mm-hmm.
What responsibilities do we have, individually, collectively, to ensure cybersecurity, especially in the face of developments like these?
Yeah, think about the implications. For healthcare, for finance, for our basic infrastructure like power and water.
It really touches everything. It's a question that definitely deserves some serious thought from all of us.